I spent 5 winters in upstate New York. The Longfellow poem that I read recalls for me so much of the beauty and the melancholy of the snowfall. But I have one particular memory of snow that has stuck with me for more than 20 years. One of the qualities of snow is that it beautifully covers many imperfections and ugliness. In my first winter in New York, I lived in an apartment that was midway up a steep hill. Every day I waited on this busy corner for the bus to come. As winter turned to spring, each day of snowmelt revealed something on the ground on the corner where I waited. Every day a bit more was revealed, until one day I realized it was a mattress, a crib mattress. The snow had been hiding that mattress on a busy corner for almost 4 months. I wondered how it got there. Did it fall out of a truck? Did someone throw it out their window? I knew that there was a story behind this mattress, but what stuck with me was that the snow had kept it hidden from view for so long, kept the secret of the person who had discarded the mattress. Longfellow associates snow with secrets as well. But for him, the snow doesn't hide the secrets. Each flake is a secret unto itself, a confession of the troubled sky. In his use of this metaphor, we know that the sky and the snow are analogous to a confession of a troubled heart. This is the poem of the air, he says, slowly in silent syllables recorded. This is the secret of despair, long in its cloudy bosom hoarded, now whispered and revealed to wood and field. It's winter here in Northern California, and though we don't have snow, we do have cold and fog and shorter days. A good time to contemplate deeper meanings. I have been contemplating secrets during this time, my own and those of others, some of which you saw in the postcards that we passed around this morning. I first heard about the Post-Secret Project on National Public Radio many years ago, and I knew that I wanted to offer it as part of a sermon. Now, we know there are many types of secrets, and not all of them are bad or shameful. Some are fun and exciting. Having a secret crush, keeping your pregnancy secret until you're sure, a planned surprise for a loved one. There is an exquisite delight in the keeping and the telling of these types of secrets. Other types of secrets are more complicated, or at least they can be. It's tricky when someone offers you a secret, one that you're not supposed to tell. You're asked to hold it for them. It's normal to be caught up in the specialness of the sharing and agree, but it can be a big burden, something to regret if the secret could be damaging to the secret giver or to someone else. Your friend tells you she's having an affair. Your coworker tells you that they're stealing from your employer. Promise you won't tell anyone, they say. This is just between you and me. They have passed along some portion of their burden onto you, some portion of their shame. Keeping their secret is a form of tacit approval. Physical and sexual abuse can fit into this category of secret. The abuser is passing on the shame, often shame from the abuse that they themselves suffered. Secrecy is a big part of the currency between the abuser and the abused, and it is the intensity of the shame that will keep the abused person silent. Or, as in the case of Penn State a few years ago, we ask, how many people kept that secret of what happened to those boys? Each layer of additional shame creates additional reason to keep quiet, more possibility of loss if the secret is revealed. But it is complicit engagement with the initial crime. Those of you who are parents can appreciate how complicated secrets are with children. You want them to have their privacy, but you want them to be safe. Children can be burdened by their own secrets or those that are given to them by others. Secrets can hide despair and abuse. But secrets can also be fun and special. It's critical to help your child distinguish. In the postcards that we viewed, each person is sharing a secret that they had not told to anyone else. That was the request from Frank Warren when he launched the project. You can sense that some of these secrets have been held for a long time. These are the most difficult secrets, those held the longest, for they can become larger or more painful over time. We hold secrets in our bodies, and they can be felt as a pain or an ache in our heart, a little wound that sometimes can keep us from being fully present to love. Or if the secret has been held for a long time, the wound can become a scar, but not a scar for healing, but for covering up the unhealed wound underneath. I think of that gray blur that they use on TV to cover up people's faces or other things that for confidentiality purposes. That same gray blur covers part of our hearts, the part that holds the secret, and it's closed off. That gray blur can keep us from receiving love, like static on the radio. We can't receive the message that's coming into us. If the secret is something we particularly want to keep from a loved one, that little spot of pain in our soul is a disconnect from them in particular, a disconnect from the people that we want to feel closest to. We can feel increasingly isolated and alone. Maybe the worst type of secret is the one that we keep from ourselves. These secrets can erode us away. These are usually the darkest and the most scary ones. You can sense that. Some of the postcards revealed secrets that might have fit this description. These types of secrets are often too painful to contemplate. "I am terrified of not existing," one of them said. "I really don't love my husband." One of the most poignant postcards in the collection for me shows a picture of a manila envelope with a little red string that's attached to it. And it says, "I have finally spoken my secret out loud into this envelope and sealed it forever." Can you imagine the courage it must have taken that person to speak their secret aloud? We don't even know what their secret is, but we can viscerally feel the pain and the release they must have felt with that disclosure, if only to the air in the envelope. That, I think, is the power of the Post-Secret Project, giving people an anonymous, safe place to reveal their secrets. The Catholic Church understood this need. Confession was done in the dark. You didn't see the priest's face when you spoke. However, as we know, the Catholic Church was keeping their own share of secrets. Frank Warren served the function of confessor to the people who sent him postcards, more than 200,000 postcards at last count. Sending our secrets to an anonymous P.O. box, we can learn that exposing pain does not mean an end to the world. In fact, it can bring liberation. I think that's a critical reason why we hold secrets. We believe that if the secret is revealed, something terrible will happen, something irrevocable. For some secrets, we may be afraid that the revealing will be too powerful, that the secret of what we've done will hurt someone beyond repair. For other secrets, the fear is deeper. We fear that telling the secret will reveal that we are unacceptable, unworthy of love. When these are the stakes, it's easy to see why we hold on to our secrets. That's another part of the power of the Post-Secret Project, viewing the secrets shared by others, either on the website or in the books. Sometimes we can see our own fears in these secrets and in the posts, and it helps us to realize that we are not alone. The sharing of others can help us with our own pain. I held on to a painful secret for more than a decade. I was very active in the music program in high school. I played the flute in the marching band and the concert band. I played piano in the jazz band. My parents were extremely active in the parents' club. Most of my friends were in the band. My secret was that I was being molested by the music teacher. "It's our little secret," he said. I was his special one. It went on for most of a year. I almost told my guidance counselor, but I was not confident that she would believe me. I almost told my best friend, but the teacher was a deacon in her church, and I thought that it would be too difficult for her. I never considered telling my parents because I thought it would ruin everything, all the band trips, all the parent activities. I thought that my friends would never understand. I thought that my parents and my friends would not forgive me for ruining everything. I covered up my secret and I tried to forget about it. 10 years later, I was in graduate school, and my parents told me that some junior high school girls had accused this same teacher of molesting them, but he didn't know what would happen because it was his word against theirs. This was the 80s when the attitudes about sexual abuse were very different from what they are today. I could not bear the idea that someone who had the courage to tell would not be believed. So I told my parents what happened to me. My father called the district attorney, I gave a deposition, and the teacher pled guilty. As soon as I heard about those girls, I knew in my heart that I would be telling my secret, the one that I had so carefully covered up for 10 years. It was not a pleasant process. My secret was uncovered like that ugly mattress revealed in the melting snow. The telling the secret part was not positive for me. When I told my parents about the abuse, their main concern was why I hadn't told them at the time. I think this is a natural response. They felt that somehow they had failed me. But the painful part for me was that never in the process of revealing my secret was I given the love and support for the hurt and trauma that had been caused to me. It didn't matter that it had happened 10 years earlier. The part of me that held that secret was 14 years old. Worse yet, the whole matter was handled over the phone, both a discussion with my parents and the deposition to the district attorney. There was no one present with me, no one there to give me love and support. I didn't realize how difficult that was for me until years later, when I understood how my disclosure was unfinished and that a critical piece of healing was missing. I did go on to receive that healing and to process my experience and receive the love and support that I needed. Maybe something in this service will bring forth a secret that you feel the need to share. Maybe you'll send a postcard to the post-secret address. Maybe you'll share with someone that you love, someone you trust. But for me, an equal goal of sharing this with you is for you to have an increased appreciation for being the one to hear the secret from someone else. People send their secrets to Frank because it's safe. It's anonymous. If someone you know and love brings a secret to you, it is not anonymous. Can each of us be a safe place for our loved ones to share their deepest secrets? Can we put aside our own needs or fears when the secret is revealed? Can we hold them in compassion as they share their deepest feelings of unworthiness and shame? Sharing of secrets can have a mutual healing if both parties can keep their hearts open. It's about one human being expressing authentic caring and concern for another, offering comfort, witness, acceptance, assistance, and hope. I also think it's about respect. Respect for their concerns and feelings, even if you don't understand them, even if they scare you. It's respect for their courage in the telling. Working as a chaplain in a hospital, I heard my share of secrets from patients. Hospitals and illnesses can bring up our greatest fears and expose these shadows on our hearts.
I can't go into surgery without telling you that my husband doesn't know that I have reached, that I've racked up $40,000 in credit card debt. I'm afraid if I tell him, he won't be there for me when I come out of surgery. I promised God that if I didn't have cancer, I would dedicate my life to doing good work, but I'm afraid I won't be able to keep my part of the bargain. I didn't want to abort my baby when I found out that he would be born with birth defects, but a part of me is afraid and wishes that I would miscarry. How do you honor this pain, this bearing of the soul? I would listen, support, and affirm. I held their secret with love and respect. I would honor their courage. Sometimes I would be present when they tell their secret to the person they were keeping it from. It's not about fixing. It's about letting them expose their deepest fear and reassuring them that they are worthy of love. As Mary read from the introduction of the Post-Secret book, we all have our fear, our secrets, fears, regrets, hopes, beliefs, fantasies, betrayals, humiliations. We may not always recognize them, but they are a part of us, like dreams we can't recall in the morning light. Some of the most beautiful postcards in the collection come from very painful feelings and memories. I believe that each one of us has the ability to discover, share, and grow our own dark secrets into something meaningful and beautiful. In closing, I offer a prayer to all of those who hold secrets. May you find the courage to release your fears and find hope and compassion. And for all those who are called upon to hear a secret, may you be strong enough, compassionate enough to be a loving witness for those secrets revealed. Amen.